Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with your host, Hank Hanegraaff. The Bible Answer Man is the radio ministry of the Christian Research Institute, designed to equip believers to defend their faith and become true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. Our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 1-888-7000-274. You can find us on the internet at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, to begin today's broadcast, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We're going to go to your calls in just a moment. I was in pain one day and I could hardly move. Sensing that she had a captive audience, my wife Kathy pulled up a chair next to the shallow waters of the tub in which I was soaking, and she began to read from a book titled Into the Depths of God. The words were refreshing, and they were also riveting. They washed over me like the balm of Gilead. And so within moments, I became oblivious to my pain. This was not the stuff of shallow men who splash around in surface things and then attempt to write about the deep. It was not the stuff of non-peakers talking to non-peakers about peak experiences. These were the words of someone who had himself escaped the shallowness of his own soul and then had plunged deeply into the ocean of God's immensity. And so as Kathy read, I was brought into the experience of the author and his family as they traveled to the Great Barrier Reef. Calvin Miller had come to snorkel. His son, however, had come to scuba. And for the rest of their lives, both father and son would tell stories of their experiences with the Great Reef. But only one of them had really come to know it. And I think that's an appropriate analogy for prayer, because most men and women snorkel in the surface waters of prayer and, of course, succeed only in sunburning their backs. They fail to comprehend that deep is where the noisy, the trashy surface of the ocean gets quiet and serene. It is where our noisy requests give way to the quiet of a relationship with our Maker. Deep is where we step out of the shallow tide pool of our hearts into the boundless ocean of God's power and presence. It is where we get beyond surface things and plunge into a deep relationship with our Creator. Jesus wanted his disciples to venture out of the shallow waters of prayer, and therefore, when they began begging him to teach them how to pray, he offered the pattern of his own personal prayer life as a brilliant shaft leading deep into the ocean of prayer. Scuba gear allowed Miller's son to have a real experience with the Great Reef. The prayer of Jesus is the entryway into an ever-deepening experience with God. In fact, I've written a book called The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, and it is available for your gift to the ongoing work of the Christian Research Institute. You can find it on the web at equip.org. Again, for your gift, I'd be pleased to send you The Prayer of Jesus. And for those who join the Bible Answer Man support team, I'd be pleased to send you The Prayer of Jesus, personalized to you, a family member, or a friend. Again, you can find this on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are standing by, 888-7000 and the letters CRI. A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right to our phone callers. First up is Jim. He's listening in Hickory, North Carolina. Hi, Jim.
Good afternoon, Hank. I'm calling because I've had a discussion with my pastor a few days ago. I am currently a member of a Bible Study Fellowship, and I will be a leader going forward. My pastor has indicated to me that he does not feel that it would be appropriate for me to be involved in Bible teaching. He indicates that responsibility, and it is the church that has been charged with that responsibility, just like the church has been charged with the administering of the sacraments, and the church has been charged likewise with the administering of church discipline. I have expressed to him that I do not agree with his view, that as a believer, there is absolutely nothing wrong with teaching the Bible in this fashion through Bible study fellowship to other people. So I'm very, very, he is very concerned about that because he feels that that is the church's responsibility to do and not for anybody else to do.
Well, you know, in a perfect world, he may be right. Which is to say, in a perfect world, if the church was doing what the church was called to do, perhaps a point could be made here. But the reality is there is a need for organizations and people to come alongside the church and augment the work of the church, because all scripture is God-breathed, and it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And I think those good works include teaching your children, and certainly teaching others as well. So with all due respect, I would agree with you and disagree with your pastor on this point. We'll go back to the phone lines. Next up is Randy. He's listening in St. Peter's, Missouri. Hi, Randy.
Hi. I recently lost my wife, and I'm just trying to get an understanding of her current state and things like, you know, she was preceded in death by her father, who we do believe come to know the Lord. You know, does she know her dad? Does she know anything about me right now or Karen? And when I see her again someday, you know, will we still have a special relationship, or what does that look like?
Well, Randy, first of all, I'm sorry for the loss of your wife. I'm touched by the brokenness in your voice. Let me say this, that she is now absent from the body, but she's present with the Lord. And so she's experiencing God, but she's also experienced other loved ones who have died. So together, they are in Abraham's bosom or paradise, which means the presence of the Lord. Now, they're not physical, but the fact that they're not physical does not mean that they cannot know one another. You knew your wife, whether you were talking to her on the telephone or whether you were together talking in the home, physically present with one another, because you know her. And in the same way, she can know other family members who have departed. But remember, as Paul makes plain, they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. And yes, you will have a relationship with her in eternity as well. And that relationship will surpass anything that you have experienced in this life. And what will eventually happen is that when Jesus appears a second time, your wife and you yourself will be transformed. The soul of your wife will return to her body, and that body will be resurrected immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, which is to say that she will be what she was intended to be before sin entered the world. As wonderful as no doubt she was, as you were married to her, she's going to be better yet, because her DNA will flourish in a universe that is no longer corrupted by sin. And again, you will have a relationship. The relationship will be different, but not different as in, oh my, that's not what I wanted to hear, but different as in, wow. It will exceed your greatest expectations. And that's what you have to look forward to. And Randy, I've said this many times in the Bible Answer Man broadcast, but it bears repeating. We ultimately recognize is that Christianity doesn't give us a peaceful way to come to terms with the difficulties of life, such as the passing of a loved one. The pain is always present, but so is the hope or the promise that we have in Scripture they will know one another. We're not going to have less knowledge in heaven. We're going to have more knowledge in heaven. And heaven isn't some place up there. Certainly heaven is to now the presence of the Lord, but heaven will be this universe transformed as well. You know, Paul says in Romans 8 that the universe now groans in travail, awaiting its liberation from bondage to decay. And all of that will take place when Jesus appears a second time.
Hank, I don't know what this lost, you know, without the hope that we have. That's what makes it bearable.
Yes, yes. And still very difficult. Lord, I pray that you would be the balm of Gilead in Randy's life, that you would meet his every need, that you would allow him to look forward with great expectation to the day that he is reunited with his loved ones. And Lord, in the meantime, I pray that you would bring people and circumstances into his life so that he might have peace in the midst of the storm. We pray this not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. In the name of the living Christ, amen. We'll be right back with more.
To find out more about the materials mentioned on the show, call a CRI resource consultant toll-free at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Our website is also an excellent reference destination to help you. Just go to equip.org and find articles by Hank, books, CDs, and DVDs. Again, that's equip.org. Or write CRI P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip 28271. The Bible Answer Man will continue in just a moment. Of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Truth Matters, Life Matters More details Hank Hanegraaff's personal pilgrimage from his long defense of truth to his discovery that life matters more. Essentially two books in one, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. Part 2 explains why truth is necessary, but hardly sufficient. That the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We are created to experience life to the full through union with God in Christ. Is there more to the Christian life than what you are experiencing? Truth Matters, Life Matters More unveils the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy, and we return to our callers. Next up is Monica in Lincoln, Nebraska. Hi, Monica.
Oh, hi, sir. I just have a question. How I might be able to encourage or just maybe answer my husband who is having a personal struggle with sort of the feeling that God is narcissistic, that he's cruel and evil, because he created human beings knowing the suffering and injustice that would eventually occur.
Mm-hmm.
Is there scripturally something, or is this just a personal struggle of his faith and will?
Yeah. Well, Monica, here's the thing, and I think you can talk him through this. What you want to point out is that God could have created a world in which there was no death, mourning, crying, or pain. He could have done that. But if he had done that, he would have had to create people in such a way that they had no volition. And if there's no volition, there's no love. Which is to say, if love is coercive, it's not love at all. So God created a world in which Adam had the ability to act or to act otherwise. Adam could have followed God and loved him and worshiped him. He could have exercised the very tenets of his creation, which is to love and worship God, and that is where we find our ultimate fulfillment. Or he could have chosen self-rule. He had volition. And so what we say is that God created the potential for evil, but God certainly did not create evil. Human beings actualized evil by their choices. Now, out of this comes a world which is the best of all possible worlds, a world in which we will forever be able not to sin. But in the meantime, what we have is a loving God whom, though we have been separated from him through our sin, creates a way by which we can have fellowship with him once again. And so if you look at the broad strokes of Scripture, in the beginning, Adam and Eve fall into lives of perpetual sin, terminated by death. But the rest of the Bible is an unfolding plan of redemption, whereby there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth in which there is no more death, mourning, crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And you can think about this from the perspective of your own relationship. If the only way your husband can get you to love him is through coercion, then that love is not love at all. It is coercion. However, if you love him because you want to love him, it's of your own will, now that love becomes meaningful. And certainly this is the same thing in our relationship with God. If love is coerced, it's not love at all, and it's not meaningful at all. So our love for God is something that we have as an exercise of our will. We say we believe that Jesus is the fairest of them all, and therefore I want to follow Jesus Christ and the precepts of the kingdom. And when we do, he gives our life meaning, purpose, and fulfillment, and he shows us the utter and ultimate exemplification of what love is.
Okay. That's kind of what I've tried to share, and I think he, for some reason, he always comes back to feeling that it was narcissistic, I guess, to have created someone to love you, even. Does that make sense?
Yes, but remember, this is not narcissism on the part of God, nor can we make an equation between God and humanity. God is already completely fulfilled in a love relationship as one God who is revealed in three persons. And that whole idea of person has to do with identity formed and completed on the basis of relationships. And those relationships are completely satisfying? Can we answer completely the question why God would have created us for fellowship? We can't answer that question completely. It's beyond our capability to answer. But we know that He did. And the reason we know that He did is we know that every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. So the universe itself and all that is therein had to have a creator. And that creator has revealed Himself in the person work of Jesus Christ. And far from narcissism, God does all that one could possibly imagine. In fact, it is beyond the scope of our full imagination. He does all that can be done so that we might be reconciled to Him for time and for eternity. And that reconciliation is not a one-way street. We find our complete fulfillment and satisfaction in that love relationship with the one who knit us together in our mother's womb. But in terms of the narcissism, God being a jealous God, and all these attributes that are so often misunderstood, we actually promoted a book that's titled, Is God a Moral Monster? And it actually deals with every one of these canards. Is God narcissistic? Is God a jealous God in a sense that we often define jealousy and so forth?
That's great. I had heard you talk about that book, and I was hoping that it might address those things. I would agree that God did display the perfect and final act of love in His reconciliation of us on the cross. And I guess that's maybe a matter of faith or accepting that.
Yeah, it is faith, but it's also faith founded on a refutable fact, and it's faith that ultimately can be experienced because we can experience the love and grace and goodness of God in a relationship that isn't something that we postpone until we get to eternity, but it's something that we can experience in the present.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, and in this book, one of the things that is pointed out by the author, Paul Copan, is that if jealousy is rooted in self-centeredness, it is clearly the wrong kind of jealousy. A jealousy that springs from concern for another's well-being, however, is appropriate. So again, it gets down to a proper valuation of the terminology that is used and oftentimes is misunderstood, and therefore you have people railing against God as being narcissistic and jealous when in fact they don't understand the biblical concept. And this is all delineated in the book, Is God a Moral Monster? It's why I was so excited to put it in people's hands.
Yeah, that's great. I'm sad for him that he feels this way, but I have been there and struggled with it in my own way, in my own time too, so with those same types of feelings.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, I thank you tremendously for your time and your work.
You got it. I'm so glad you called me, Monica. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Sarah. She's listening in Omaha, Nebraska. Hi, Sarah.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for your ministry, and I do pray for you, your family, and your ministry. And as my family's able, I want to do financial support. So bless you. And I stand with you when you have read that even if supporters say, well, we're not going to support CRI, CRI and yourself are going to stand for biblical truth. And I can't quite express how important this is and how I am just sort of incensed when I see things in the media. And I was reading, I've read your journal, and then also I was reading the Decision magazine from Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and Franklin Graham said it in the article better than I could, but there's no question that God says that if you live as a homosexual or those sorts of things, that's not the question. And I like the way he put it in the article. So Franklin Graham says, I want to assure you from his word that God is eager to forgive all sinners, including the one penning this article. And the debate is ultimately about something more important than the question of same-sex marriage. It's about the great compromise calling into question the authority of Scripture. If Christians do not agree concerning the authority of Scripture, we will eventually disagree about all sorts of things. And he said, in the end, I would rather be on the wrong side of public opinion then on the wrong side of Almighty God, who established the standard of living for the world he created. Marriage is a biblically moral issue, not a political or theological one. And so I'm not very good at being concise, but how do I defend what the Bible says to family members who went to Bible school with me who have changed? Or there is a gentleman who will remain nameless who went to my college who's now a pastor, and he performs same-sex ceremonies in his church, and it breaks my heart because I just don't know quite how to handle proclaiming this without sounding like, oh, I'm an elitist, and I don't understand in the culture what many Christians are saying. Well, you know, I believe this is what's true. Well, now you're a hater. Or, you know, I can't run my business. I have to go to the Supreme Court.
Hey, Sarah, I am at this point up against the end of the broadcast. I love what you've said, what you've read. I think it's important. I also think that the ultimate question is this. Do we love Christ? Do we want to be participants in his kingdom? That's the ultimate question. If we do, then we're going to live within the standards that he sets forth for us to live within. If we don't, then we're going to give in to public sentiment and opinion. Appreciate your thoughts and your sentiments, your call. We're just flat out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you for your kind words. That goes out to everyone who has been supporting and praying for this ministry. So long for now.
Thank you for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you'd like more information about the Christian Research Institute or to order resources, just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or visit equip.org, where you can listen live or download archived broadcasts. Again, that's equip.org. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.